good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, right. Even without sunshine, that is a good morning. Welcome. Good morning and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, or WUF, as we are affectionately known. I'm Salima Malson. My pronouns are she and her, and it is my joy to be with you all as the lay leader for this morning's service. So whoever, wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know how welcome you are with us. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, watching downstairs on screen, or cozied in at home, you're very welcome. And regardless of who you are, where you've been, where you're from, whether your heart is heavy with grief this morning or alive with joy, regardless of your age or abilities, color of your skin, regardless of whom you love or how you identify your gender if you do, and whether your spiritual practices this month have included a reading a poem a day or celebrating Earth Day every day after day after day, we are so glad that you're with us this morning. So, having come in, let's begin our time together by rejoicing in each other's company with hymn number 361 in your gray hymnals. Enter, rejoice, and come in. And Sarah is going to be our song leader this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Please stand as you are able and willing.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open your ears to the song. Open your ears to the song. Today will be a joyful day. Open, rejoice, and come in. Open your hearts, everyone. Open your hearts, everyone. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Don't be afraid of some change. Don't be afraid of some change. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
So I was just handed this little notice that, and you've seen these. Some of you have seen them. If you're new to WUF, and I think that if some of you may see them on the backs of the chairs in front of you, this is a way that you can get an order of service and that you can also get tuned into what is happening here at WUF. So if you don't have one of these, pick one up, right? All right. So we are delighted this morning to have a guest speaker. She's the Reverend Mitra Ranima, and I have asked her to light our chalice as I share these words from Christine Robinson. We gather this hour as people of faith with joys and sorrows, gifts and needs. We light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning in celebration of this life that we share together. Join me now in our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. This morning's message is titled, Becoming Human Again and Again. And it will be delivered by the guest you just met, Reverend Mitra Ranema. Mitra is a lifelong Unitarian Universalist and a graduate of the Star King School for the Ministry. She has served congregations in Missouri, Michigan, and California, and has been a member of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association Committee on Anti-Racism, Anti-Oppression, and Multiculturalism. Mitra has also been busy as the editor of the 2017 book and UUA Common Read titled Centering, Navigating Race, Authenticity, and Power in Ministry. Her dedication to building vibrant and engaged anti-oppressive communities has brought her back to Portland, and we are delighted to have her with us today, and we'll welcome her to offer our call to worship. Mitra.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me. Now is the time. How does that sound? We will. It's fine. Now is the time. You have arrived. Congratulations. You made it today. Now is the time that you have carved out of very full lives to be in worship together. So take notice of the place that you sit, that you rest. Take notice of the people that you share this space with, known and unknown. Take notice of the love in the room. Take notice of those who you miss. Take notice of the ground of all being and open to being holy.
Spirit of life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the the shape of justice, roots hold me close, wings set me free, Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
And now if the children will come forward to the front row, and I know that there's a whole bunch of children with us this morning. Evian is going to talk with us about Earth and Earth Day. Everybody remember that we've been celebrating Earth Day this month, and yesterday was the official day. So let's gather around and let Evian talk to us about the Earth, and you'll give us the title of the book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in your order of agenda, or it's a different book by a different author, but this book, a similar theme. It's called The Earth Book by an author that I really enjoy. I read a lot in my classroom, Todd Parr. So please enjoy the Earth Book. I take care of the Earth because I know I can do little things every day to make a big difference. And I have instructed that I must turn on this clicker. Button on the side. Thank you. There's several buttons on the side. Okay. No. I will respectfully decline to answer that question. No. Okay. All righty. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, now we're in business. I use both sides of the paper and bring my own bags to the market. Raise your hand if you bring your own bags to the market. Yes! Woofers rock. Because I love trees. Have you guys hugged a tree today? Yes! And I want the owls to have a place to live. I turn off the faucet while I brush my teeth and use less water for my bath because I love fish and I want the ocean to stay blue. I take the school bus and ride a bike to school because I love the stars and I want the air to be clean so I can see them sparkle. I try to eat every bite on my plate, even when my parents tell me, make sure I clear your whole plate, even if it's broccoli, and save my leftovers because I love watching them things grow and I want there to be enough food for everyone. I remember to turn off the lights and shut the refrigerator to save energy because I love polar bears and I want the snowmen to stay cool. Gotta keep the earth cool. I throw garbage in the trash can and recycle glass, aluminum, paper, and plastic because I love to walk barefoot in grass, and I don't want to move to Mars, even though that sounds pretty cool. But you know what? This planet, if we take care of it, it'd still be a great place to live. Most of all, I help take care of the Earth because I want us all to be happy and healthy. Now, can you guys help me with this last part? 10 ways I can help the earth. Number one.
Turn off the light.
Number two.
Recycle.
Number three.
Save my leftovers.
Number four.
Be nice to the worms.
Number five.
I don't know.
Share a book.
Number six.
Plant a tree.
Number seven.
Use both sides of paper.
Number nine.
Save water.
Number and pick up trash. And number 10. Put your underwear in the freezer when it's hot outside. My favorite. Every one of us can help protect the earth and make it feel good. Remember, if we take care of it, it will take care of us. Love, Todd.
Thank you.
So now is the time in our service when we take a few minutes to consider what I like to think of as the infinity loop of gratitude and giving. Besides being grateful for our wonderful kids and our wonderful children, what are the things that we are particularly grateful for in the world today? The things that bring us joy, For some of us, it is the simple act of waking up pain-free. Or standing in a really warm shower. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just watching the hummingbird at the feeder, or the grandkids on the soccer field. And at the same time, what is it that we have to give? What is it that we have to give that brings joy to others? Maybe it's just a smile or a hug. Maybe it's bringing a meal to someone who's just come out of the hospital. Maybe it's working at WOOF on a grounds party, keeping our property beautiful. Maybe it's helping with serving coffee downstairs on a Sunday morning. Whatever it is, it's generosity of spirit that keeps us going. It's generosity of spirit that becomes a habit. Whether we're part of a family or a spiritually faith community, we have opportunity after opportunity to practice giving and receiving. It's a habit that's been going on at WOOF for more than 60 years. And I'm so delighted that this morning we have members of our congregation that have been here for close to those 60 years. And I'm so happy that they're with us. Thank you for coming, Lorraine and Roger. So, of course, money is a part of what we need to function as a community. And in a moment, baskets will be passed to gratefully receive whatever financial offerings you may have this morning. In his poem,
breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out love when I breathe in. I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out love
twice more.
In. I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out love when I breathe in. I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out love.
Thank you. Thank us all. And thank you, Mel, especially Mel, for being here today. I was reminded as I came through this line, that Mel has been part of WOOF since he was 10 years old, way back in the day. So we're so glad to have you with us today. And while we're focused on being present, focused on our breathing, and as we prepare to hear today's message, Mitra has asked that I share this poem by Mae Sarton. It's called Now I Become Myself. Now I become myself. It's taken time, many years and places. I have been dissolved and shaken. I've worn other people's faces, run madly, as if time were there. Terribly old, crying a warning, Hurry. You will be dead before... What? Before you reach the morning? Or the end of the poem is clear? Or love safe in the walled city? Now to stand still, to be here, feel my own weight and density. The black shadow on the paper is my hand, the shadow of a word as thought shapes the shaper, falls heavy on the page, is heard. All fuses now, falls into place, from wish to action, word to silence. My work, my love, my time, my face, gathered into one intense gesture of growing like a plant, as slowly as the ripening fruit, fertile, detached, and always spent, falls but does not exhaust the root. So all the poem is, can give, grows in me to become the song, made so and rooted by love. Now there is time, and time is young. Oh, in this single hour, I live all of myself and do not move. I, the pursued, who madly ran, stand still. Stand still and stop the sun. And so we enter some moments of silence to reflect or perhaps to pray.
Good morning, everyone. As Salima said, my name is Sarah. My pronouns are she and they, and originally this was the only time you were going to see me this morning, so I appreciate your generosity. I'm going to sing a song by Kate Wolf called Give Yourself to Love. If you know the chorus, you are welcome to join me in it. I think that while love is not a thing that is unique to humans, I think love is what makes us deeply human. No, I've been singing this song for 30 years. I think I got it. Thank you, Betsy. Kind friends all gathered round, there's something I would say, that what brings us together here has blessed us all today. Love has made a circle that holds us all inside, where strangers are as family and loneliness can tide. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Love is born in fire. It's planted like a seed. Love can't give you everything, but it gives you what you need. Love comes when you're ready. Love comes when you're afraid. It'll be your greatest teacher and the best friend you have made. So give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. I have no idea what the next verse is, so let's just sing the chorus again. Give yourself to love. If love is what you're after, open up your hearts to the tears and laughter and give yourself to love. Give yourself to love. Oh, give yourself to love. give yourself to love.
Again, thank you for inviting me to your pulpit. Reverend Tracy is such a kind soul, and it's a pleasure to be at the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship today. I had never heard the term wolf before, but I kind of love it. Let me start by telling you a story. It's about this time a couple years ago when I was gardening and I found aphids. So I went to my local garden shop and they sold me on some ladybugs. They told me these beautiful little creatures will fly around and they'll eat the aphids, so not to worry. They came in this pint-sized container and there were 1,500 of them. I was like, all right. The top of the container had this mesh on it so they can have air and food, and they were kind of clinging to the mesh, and I, you know, felt a little bad for them. But I brought them home, and I read the instructions. First, you're supposed to refrigerate them for 2 hours so that they get cold and fall asleep. Then you water your garden, and when dusk arrives, you're supposed to sprinkle the container all over your plants. I did just as instructed and watched. At first, after sprinkling them out, they sort of sat there on the dirt and leaves. I thought maybe they were just dazed and confused. They had just been in the refrigerator for 2 hours. Perhaps they're even traumatized, for who knows how long 1,500 of them had been in a pint-sized container. But after a little bit of time, they began to kind of crawl around. I thought, thank God they weren't dead. Night came and we all went to bed. In the morning, I rushed out to see what had happened, and they had found their legs. They had spread out. They were moving fairly quickly on the plants. Some made their way to the aphids and were munching on them. Some looked like they were kind of basking in the sun, because when I stood over them and blocked the sun, they sort of scrambled to find another warm spot. So time went on. I checked again, about mid-morning at this point. And then I was a little surprised, because they were doing something that I think can only be described as mating. That's funny. I'd never seen ladybugs do that before. Hundreds and hundreds of them in pairs, one on top of another, working away at each other. I felt shy and amazed for witnessing it. So I let them be and came back a couple hours later. Eventually, they found their wings and they kept eating, and I hope they were laying eggs for more ladybugs to get those aphids. During those 24 hours, I wondered, what was it like for them to be out of that container and back on some plants? If they had ever been before, I didn't know. What was it like for them to feel the sun and to drink water, searching for their meal? Was the garden a blessing for them, or was it a scary jungle? It was like I got to witness them becoming ladybugs again, finding their soul and their purpose, stretching themselves out and living. We all have containers in our lives. Unlike ladybugs, ours are mostly human-made, or like ladybugs, let's say. The containers can be things we want. Sometimes those containers are responsibilities we have, structures that keep us going. They're the lines on the highway that keep us safe. They are the people we love and support. They're the work that we do. They come in forms of love and maintenance and desire and much more. They serve a purpose in our lives, for in truth, sometimes being connected or attached allows us to live more freely. We are stronger in our living when we have a community that holds us up. And that community is a form of a container. And sometimes we lean into those containers so much that we lose our balance, or they close in on us. Stress prevails, anxieties are heightened, sorrow is ever present. Worry is constant. Perhaps an illness exists. Life can feel difficult just trying to stay alive, let alone thrive. And we can grow codependent, In other words, our happiness is dependent on the containers. We can think that is all that is there for us. And this, when we do, this heightens our edges, things that emerge in us when we are stressed, like ways that we shut down or disengage out of desperation rather than rejuvenation. Or for some of us, we become sharp and cynical. Either shutting down or the sharpness is the fullness of who you are. So in addition to the containers that we create for ourselves, both life-enhancing and life-limiting, the world reinforces an inhumaneness. Ironically, so much of what is meant to sustain us can be a tool for separating us from ourselves and from one another, eventually dehumanizing our faith in life. This could be as simple as the stuff that we have in our homes, or the chores that keep our life going, or the tasks of busy work that squelches imagination. The things that keep us from being swept up into the beautiful, breathtaking creativity. For some, it's the congestion of a busy life, or work conditions, or mental, verbal, physical violence we witness or experience in both our homes and in society. For some of us, it's the oppression in the world. It might be some oppression that you hear about, that you know, that we experience. We feel less like the humans that we hope we are. When we live in a world that separates loved ones, invisibilizes the marginalized, brutally and politically attacks gender others, lifts up whiteness as the right way of life, pits child against child, stripping them of those beautiful wonders. So much so that they start to wonder about picking up a gun. When our world narrows our possibilities, funnels us into one good and tells us you are on your own, we might begin to wonder, what does it mean to be human? What are we humans really doing to ourselves or to each other? Where has our collective sense of life led us? You know, sometimes, often in my life, I've thought of that Maya Angelou quote that said, who I believe she got it from someone else, but she said, I'm human, therefore nothing human is alien to me. And yet, often, I feel like the things that are happening in the world are alien to me. And as I feel disconnected, as I feel like I don't understand, then I become myself less human. And then, I, like many, think about forms of escape. Sometimes escape is those terribly good, terrible TV shows. I know that we have secret bingers out there. The stressful lives of others somehow let us set our own aside for a minute. That is a kind of numbing out in order to allow our bodies to catch up to what we know, to keep up with the paces. Or perhaps we fantasize about things like winning the lottery. I know what I would do, believe me. I revisit it all the time if I won. Or we imagine a warm vacation, or seeing missing family, perhaps retirement, some kind of relief. We seek some sort of heaven, a happy place, one filled with beauty, hope, peace that's out there. It's a way of coping. We long, deeply long to transcend our containers, even if they're created from things we want in our lives. We seek to transcend our minds and bodies and souls' responsibilities and the injustices and the stressors. It's a longing to get out of ourselves and still know that we are held, loved, and human again and again. Deep inside, we must resist that tumble into the container, to fight for the queering of our world, the marginalized places of our being, resistance will help us become human again and again. So Unitarian Universalism has something to say about resisting the world's effort to dehumanize us. We are a faith that calls us to engage more deeply in the human experience. Unitarian Universalism is human-centered, asking us to examine our experiences and embodying our humanity with intention and progress and expansion. It's who we are. To incarnate, to become flesh, not just in body, but in the entirety of the human experience, body, mind, emotion, intellect, will. Incarnate from the ethereal longing to escape into heaven, into that embodied presence of this world. Our faith is one that says, there is beauty on this earth. And that meaning in life is found in the spirit of our own humanity. It's found in love shared between people, in the labors of our mind, in the hopes of each heartbeat, even in the spirit of each embodied breath we take. We have a faith that says our religious task, our spiritual journey, is focused on ways to embody the flesh and soul of being human. Again. Because remember, this isn't something we just do once in life and then we can check it off the to-do list. Unitarian Universalist call into humanity's humanness presents a bit of a problem because that embodiment of our lives is difficult when we're surrounded by inhumane structures. So we seek ways to practice, we seek practices to clear our minds of clutter, to develop our character and integrity, to heal our wounds and strengthen our souls, feel the sun rays, touch the earth as holy ground, to work and eat and perhaps mate, if you like to be like a ladybug, and find our wings again and again. And hopefully we find, when we look, that underneath the surface, the harsh world is a whole bunch of beauty that thrives. That beauty is there to soften our hearts, to strengthen our minds, and slow us down enough to feel the gentleness of being human again. There's no better time to engage with being human than now, after years of clamping down on daily life, filling our minds with worry and clutter and breathing in but not out. This unique time where we are reemerging. We are wanting, many of us are wanting to rediscover joy and community and whimsy and fun, to exhale fully and then re-inhale a new beauty, to feel that we are in fact human. So I'm going to give you four specific practices that you can use to help return your faith and feel your humanness. They're, I would say, Unitarian Universalist practice, but I like to claim everything is Unitarian Universalist. So first, as a good Unitarian Universalist, we start with ourselves and choose to believe that the inherent worth of human life, to believe in our own life. This is to combat our own cynicism. Let's be honest, as privileged people, we have the ability to sit back and critique and dismiss others, deciding what we want to agree with and what we don't. We must resist the tendency to instead believe in the inherent worth of another. The best teachers of this practice in our world and in our faith are people of color. People on the racial margins, and yet the global majority, have mastered a faith in inherent worth and dignity of the other again and again throughout history. When evidence can be hard to find, it is faith, belief in our principle that leads people of color to battle cynicism and still go out into the streets, speaking of hope for the self, the children, the community. These people are our gurus. It's a ministry that people of color have offered the world, to believe in our own lives and the lives of one another. That belief comes with existence, because inherent worth is not about inherent goodness. It's about inherent potential. It's so easy for cynicism to take over, to say people are awful, oppression will always exist, to protect ourselves from being invested and embodied and connected, because it would probably be a disappointment anyways. I am certainly guilty of that in my life, of retreating into that protective space. Then ultimately we stop believing in the other and start to become that which we hate, inhumane. Therefore, we must temper our cynicism to become human again. The second practice we can do is tell the stories of our humanness and inhumanness. Tell our stories of what has knocked us over time and time again, what makes us numb when we were not our best selves, or what gets us so angry. Tell the stories of injustice. Also tell the stories of softening your heart. Times when a touch brought you alive, when you felt connected. Tell the visceral stories of love and hope and loss. Telling the stories of the breadth of our humanity allows us how to remember how we became. It allows us to remember how we became and how we become again. Our life stories makes us human, and telling them helps us know them. The third practice for becoming human is to, excuse me, oh, I just left a cliffhanger. Did you see that? The third practice for becoming human is to flip the notion of seeking heaven on its head and assume that it's right here in front of you, here and now. Simply put yourself in the way of it. As the writer Cheryl Strayed says, you have to put yourself in the way of beauty. This is not the old adage, look for the good of everything. Personally, I think that's too shallow for me, because sometimes there really is actually no good in our grief. It's just horrific and awful, and that's it. But we can seek to put ourselves in the way of beauty, to reveal that there is heavenly things here on earth, and allow ourselves to be knocked over by it. It can be nature, a breeze on our skin, or the sunrise. It can be a peak of a sun during an endless, what feels like an endless spring rain. It can also be your own or another's dreams, or heart, or attempts. There's nothing like helping someone else achieve something they really want. Beauty is in the creative spirit that inspires our expression. But it's not easy to let it in. You actually have to do something. You have to get up early to see that sunrise, or listen presently and deeply to the heart of another, or stay still until that breath actually makes us breathless. When we put ourselves in the way of beauty, we put ourselves in the way of life and hope, of fierce, just goodness, and take a moment to feel the love that exists in the world, allowing yourself to feel human again. And then the fourth practice towards becoming human again is to humble ourselves. We humble ourselves because, in truth, we have not yet lived into the fullness of grace that is our lives. We have not yet realized the beloved community in our bodies and souls. We have not yet fully revealed our own potential. We have all been a disappointment. We have felt the dread of sorrow for something we said or did or didn't say or didn't do. We have all taken things that we did not need. There are things we cannot do, we do not know, we should not fake. Therefore, we should humble ourselves, hopefully before we make some more mistakes, slow down, stepping away, unwinding our minds, laughing a little more at ourselves, can return us to the grace of humanity. And it is right, the right and fitting thing to do. For when we are in full grace, truly we are not our own. Rather, we are an extension of something much larger, working to help others become human again. So perhaps believing in humanity, or combating our cynicism, telling our stories, putting ourselves in the way of beauty and humbling ourselves will lead us to remember that heaven is actually a human experience. How very Unitarian Universalist of us. So this summer, do you feel a little overwhelmed? Like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do? Good. This summer, let's focus on the embodied part of our religious journey. The resistance of our religious journey, as is your theme. And pick just one of those four practices: believing, storing, putting yourself in the way of beauty, humbling, and see how it makes you feel human again. May it be so. I'm going to invite you to take a breath and rise as you are able to sing hymn 110, We Give Thanks. We've come to the end of our time together this morning, and again, Mitra will extinguish the flame of our chalice now, but we will bring the warmth and the blessing of its light with us as we make our way into the coming week.